Read the book of Isaiah tonight, chapter 55. The book of Isaiah, if you have your Bible, and chapter 55. And we'll read at verse number 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, says, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, as we come to the chapter that we have read up tonight, we are aware that Isaiah is writing to a nation that has forgotten their God. The green pastures of his blessing and of his will have been left behind, and they have turned to other pastures that have seemed greener to them, pastures of their own self-choosing. The word of God that was once the man of their counsel, that guided them in all their movements, and that made them aware of all the rich provision of God, has been closed. And they have turned to the words of other authorities. And the God that made them and blessed them has been forgotten. As I think of Isaiah chapter 55, I can't help but think that this same condition describes 1996 here in Toronto, because we are dealing with a generation that has forgotten God. The faith of our fathers has been changed to faith in ourselves. We have turned to the God of science for the answers. And strangely enough, science has changed this world. But sadly and tragically, science has not changed man. This generation, unlike all the other generations, has never had so many things, so many accumulations. We have surrounded ourselves with every gadget and every invention and every accumulation that we can get. And despite the fact that our hands and our homes and our lives are filled with things, people have never been so empty and so unhappy and so hopeless. And maybe tonight that describes you. I find it very tragic that the number two killer among teenagers is suicide. Young people at the very start of life, with the full road of life stretching ahead of them, come to the end where they realize and where they conclude they have nothing to live for. The future is bleak. There's no God in their reckoning. And instead of seeking to find God and enjoying his presence, they decide to end it all. And the number two killer among teenagers tonight in this world is suicide. And before this meeting comes to a close in North America, there will be three teenagers in the next 60 minutes that will attempt to take their life. And by the time we go through those doors, one of them will succeed. We're living in a sad world. And I'm not here to center on a doom and gloom message. But you see, Isaiah chapter 55 concerns a nation and a people and a generation that had turned away from God. And when we turn away from the God of light, there's only darkness. And when we turn away from the God of life, my friend, there is only emptiness and death. When we turn away from the God who loves us, and of whom it is said, God is love, there is only the bitterness and emptiness of sin. And at such a juncture, and in such a scene, the changeless God speaks to changing times. I'm thrilled as I turn to Isaiah chapter 55, and the very first word makes us aware that God is calling for our attention. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth! And tonight that call is going out across this world. Sad to say, the last place people look is upward. We try everything else. We consult every other authority. We read every other book. Except God's word of truth. And yet in our emptiness and our loneliness and our guilt and our sin and our darkness, the God of light speaks. And he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye! Come ye to the waters, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. And tonight the God of the gospel and the God of the Bible and the God that has made you is calling for your attention. But the same God that calls for attention is the God that calls us now to evaluate our life. And in very simple words, he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor that for that which satisfieth not? And tonight, God would bring you to a place of evaluation. You have tried the empty bubbles of pleasure. You have gone the road of sin. You have turned away from God. Tell me, are you satisfied tonight? Are you happy? People are rich. And people are famous. But people are unhappy. But I ask you very simply and personally, has the road that you have pursued, has it brought you happiness? Do you have peace tonight? Do you have hope for eternity tonight? Sad to say, people are investing in that which is not eternal. And as they come to the end of their life with all that they have amassed around them, they are bankrupt for eternity. And God would focus for you tonight that you might evaluate your life and weigh it up in the light of eternity. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? God would have you weigh up very carefully your soul and your eternity. But the God that calls us for attention and the God that calls us for evaluation is now the God that calls us with clear instruction and a very definite exhortation. Let's read the words of verse 6 that are upon my mind tonight. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You see, it's the Lord. It's our Lord Jesus Christ that is the Christ of every crisis. He is the one alone that is able to bring peace to your soul tonight. In fact, we have before us the changeless truth concerning that blessed person where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And this exhortation very clearly tells us, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. When I read those words, I made aware that there is a backdrop to these words. There are principles to the tremendous truth of seeking God. When God calls us to seek him, number one, our seeking is not because God is hidden. God is not playing hide and seek with this world.
God is not camouflaging himself. God is not distancing himself from us tonight. He's not at a distance. But the Bible tells us very clearly in Acts chapter 17 that the God that has made us and the God that is involved in the affairs of this world is the God that is not far from every one of us. God is not far from you tonight. A few years ago in the Middle East, there was a drought raging. Temperatures were soaring. Everything was dying. And those desperate people decided to take action to appeal to their God. They called for national days of prayer. And to try and enforce those prayers, they erected huge loudspeakers in the desert. And the volume was turned up on those loudspeakers. And those loudspeakers were directed toward the heavens as they were appealing to a God that seemed so far off. Isn't that a picture of this world tonight? We think that God has put himself at a distance from us, but tonight our seeking is not because God is hidden or far from us. He's near. But God calls us to seek the Lord while he may be found, because do you know it's not the natural thing for sinners to seek for the Lord? We'll seek for everything and everyone else except God. Very interesting. A few months ago, I was having a few pains in my back, and so I called up my chiropractor to try and get an appointment. And the receptionist took my call, and she said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Gershon, the doctor has already been double booked today. You just have to wait." You know, it's interesting that no matter many times who you call, whether it's the doctor or the chiropractor or whether it's a sporting event in the city, people will line up and perhaps wait for hours just seeking to get a ticket, seeking to find relief. What I can tell you, and I would say that likely my brother Oliver is aware of the same thing, preachers of the gospel are rarely double booked or double called with regard to men and women and young people seeking to find Christ. Very few are seeking the Lord tonight. Very few are putting the salvation of their soul first. What this verse makes me very much aware of is that it is not the natural thing for men to seek the Lord. And yet God says, "You seek the Lord while he may be found." There's another principle that is the backdrop of this tremendous truth. Do you know that this is heaven's decree? In fact, the Lord Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Tell me tonight, friend, are you seeking first God's kingdom, his righteousness, his salvation? Because unless it's first, unless everything else is put to one side, friend, you are going to miss heaven. And you are going to lose your soul. Tonight, this is an all-important exhortation from God. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. This verse makes us very much aware, number one, whom we are to seek. It says, seek ye the Lord. One day there were two men standing alongside of a preacher by the name of John. I tried to picture what the scene must have been like as they were just standing there, perhaps discussing some of the truths of the scriptures, when all of a sudden another man walked by. And that prophet by the name of John said to those two men standing there, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." What he was saying is, he's simply saying this: men, there's the one you want to follow. There's the one you want to seek. And the Bible tells us those two individuals left John. They followed that man, his name is Jesus. and they caught up to him. And perhaps, putting their hand on his shoulder, they said, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? Where are you staying? And that lovely man said, come and see. And those two individuals sat down with that man, that Savior. And at the end of that conversation, as they came to a close, they left the room, and one of those men by the name of Andrew went looking for his brother. And when he found Peter, he said these words, Peter, we have found him. We have found him! We have found the Messiah. Tonight, friend, there is a Savior. And the wonderful truth of the gospel is that he is seeking for you. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. But God is looking for a response from you. God is waiting for a response from your heart. And this blessed book tells us, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Tonight, salvation is not found in a church or a creed or in my good works or in my moral living or in whatever else I might try to do. Salvation is found in the blessed man of Calvary, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that has died for our sins. He's the one whose blood has been shed. He's the one who has tasted death for every man. He's the one who's defeated our archenemy, Satan. And tonight the message is simply this, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And every single soul has found him, who has received him, can say in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Tell me, have you found Christ tonight? He's not far from every one of us. But God desires that we might see him. I think of the hymn writer who could say, all my life long I had panted for a draught from some cool spring, and I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Thank God that moment came, and he says, hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has sought. Jesus satisfies my longings. By his blood, I now am saved. Tonight, friend, we would present to you the Lord Jesus, the only Savior of sinners who still stands with outstretched arms, and who invites you to come to him. But I want you to know that there is a way we should seek him. You see, we're living in a world of, could I say, casual Christianity? We're living in a world that's filled with spiritual indifference. And it seems that people rarely get stirred up about the matter of their soul. But as I read my Bible, I'm impressed and I'm amazed at those that sought the Lord while he may be found. It became their greatest desire, their greatest passion. And as I watch their pathway, I find that in their pursuit to find Christ, entire roofs were broken up. Miles were traveled. Trees were climbed. Dust was breathed. Nothing was left unturned as they sought to get to Christ. Garments were cast to one side as they were led to the Lord Jesus. And men changed their schedule. And they came to Jesus by night. Tell me, how are you seeking Christ tonight? Because if it's only in a casual way, friend, you'll never get there. In fact, the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, strive to enter in. Leave no stone unturned. Make it number one. And as I think of the tremendous issues at stake, I want to encourage you with the help of God to make you aware of your tremendous need tonight. Heaven and hell is in the balance. A number of years ago, while I was living in the town of Gander, I received a phone call from a young Christian, 150 miles from the town of Gander. Her name was Wanda, and she had been witnessing to a neighbor of hers. She said, "Marv, I've been talking to June, and June would like to be saved. Could you talk to her?" And during that first call, I said, "Well, Wanda, why don't you talk to her? Why don't you tell her how you got saved?" And so she said, "All right, I will." A few days later, I got another phone call from Wanda. She said, "Marv," she said, "I told June all that I know, and she would really like to know more. Could we come to Gander for a talk?" I said, "I'd be delighted." So those two young married women got in their car on a Saturday morning, and they drove 150 miles in the dead of winter, not to go shopping, and not to have a casual cup of tea. They drove 150 miles to seek the Lord, to seek salvation. We talked most of Saturday afternoon, and we talked a little bit on Sunday afternoon. And then I said to those two young women, I said, "Now, another preacher and I are having gospel meetings 30 miles north of here. You can come there if you like, or you can stay right here in Gander. You'll hear the gospel in both places." And as we came up from the prayer meeting in that area 30 miles northward, to our great delight and surprise, there were the two women right in the front row. It was June Sweetland's first gospel meeting. And after that meeting, those two young women got in their car and they drove now 180 miles through the winter night back home, just because a young woman was seeking the Lord while he may be found. Did June get saved? Yes. Tell me, how far are you willing to go to seek the Lord? What does salvation mean to you? Because you see, this verse tells me when we are to seek the Lord. This verse tells me, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Just a very short time ago, I was speaking to an aged man, upper 70s, early 80s. I said, "Mr. Tucker, what about your soul?" He came a number of nights to gospel meetings that we were having, but now I was sitting in his home. And as I was speaking to this aged man, whose son and whose daughter was saved, a man's eyes began to cloud with tears. And he says, "You know, I should have gotten saved back in 1982. There were meetings on and God was speaking to me. But," he says, "it's too late now." I trust it's not too late, but tragically that man comes and goes from the place of the holy with very little concern. Like God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Because there is a day coming when a door of salvation will swing shut. When the God who calls tonight will stop calling. When the Savior whose arms are outstretched tonight will become the judge of this world. And Proverbs chapter 1 tells us, "A moment will come when sinners will seek the Lord, and they will not find him." I trust tonight that you will seek the Lord while he may be found, and that tonight you will call upon him while he is near.